So this morning we're going to start off in 1 Peter chapter 5. You can be opening your Bibles up to 1 Peter chapter 5. To the elders among you I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. We're continuing our sermon series on the heart of a shepherd, on what being an elder is all about. And the purpose of the sermon this morning is to, first of all, exhort our shepherds, our elders, to do their work faithfully. We have six shepherds that are part of this congregation, and the primary focus is to encourage and challenge and support the work that they do. So that's the primary purpose. A secondary purpose has to do with our elders wanting to add additional elders to this congregation, to their team, if you will. And so they have made that clear to the congregation that they are ready to bring on additional elders. And so this sermon, as we look through 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, will hopefully better understand what is all involved in the important work of being an elder. You're talking to folks. You're praying for folks who might want or desire this position. And so it's important for us to reflect on these kind of passages in the New Testament that speak directly about the role of an elder as we go through this process. And so we want this whole process, and I believe that the elders would stand strongly on this, that as we work through this process, that we want the whole thing to be saturated in prayer and study and reflection of God's Word. And so that's what we're doing this morning. So the recipients of what we are reading here, the original group of folks that would have heard these words from Peter, were Christians that were scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. These Christians, we know, were under attack because of their faith in Jesus. In fact, right before Peter shares these words in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says things like this. This is in verse 13 of chapter 4. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. Suffering is coming to the Christians, perhaps in the midst of the suffering, as they hear these words from Peter. Or verse 19 of chapter 4. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good, even in the face of persecution, of suffering. They are to remain true to the Creator. They are to remain faithful in their lives, doing good. Now, for us today, we may not be facing this kind of persecution. We may not be suffering like these Christians in the first century were suffering in places like Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia. However, we are still in need of strong leadership, just as the church in the first century was in need of strong leadership. The pressures that we face today are different, but yet they still have a way of pulling the rug out from underneath what we are trying to do as Christians: apathy and complacency. We live in a comfortable world, especially those Christians, those of us who live in the United States. And what can happen is, in all of this, these comforts and luxuries that we experience, we can be lulled to sleep in our allegiance to our King Jesus. We live in a sin-saturated world, just like the first century. And so, although folks may not be coming toward us with a sword or ready to kill us because of our faith in Jesus, they're still putting pressure on us, trying to get us to assimilate into a culture that does not honor God or His Son. And so we face pressure just like the church in the first century faced pressure. As a matter of fact, some have mentioned, and I tend to agree, that the pressure that the first century Christians were facing in some ways caused them to gather themselves up and actually present themselves as a strong force because of what they were facing. They had to be unified. They had to be prayerful. They had to rely on the power and protection of God to remain strong during that time. Whereas with the pressures that we are facing today, oftentimes instead of pushing forward in a strong manner, we find ourselves going right along with the grain of our society. And so the point is, the church needs elders to faithfully shepherd them in the 21st century, shepherd us in the 21st century, just like the church in the first century needed leaders, elders, to shepherd them well and faithfully at that time. And so I want to share kind of the structure of this sermon. First is, I want to have some observations from this text. It's going to start like this. There's going to be an exhortation. There's an urging someone to do something in 1 Peter chapter 5. And it's addressed to men who are called to a specific role in the church. Then there's a specific exhortation for the elders to be shepherds of the flock. The elders must continue to check their approach in leadership. And the shepherds must remember that they are under shepherds. We'll talk more about that here in a little bit. And the elders must maintain an eternal perspective as they do their work. And so, first observation, the exhortation is addressed to men fulfilling a specific role in the church. Peter writes, "To the elders among you." The Greek word here for elders is presbyteros, and it can mean either those who are older or those who are holding a specific role within the church. And so we have to ask the question, is this referring to older people in general, or is this referring to a group of men serving a specific role in the congregation? I believe that Peter is referring to a group of men serving as leaders in the church. I'll share several reasons why I believe that to be the case. First of all, in verse 2, Peter exhorted these elders, as we're going to talk about more as the sermon progresses, he exhorts them to be shepherds of God's flock. There's a biblical precedent for the concept of shepherding being used in connection with those who have been designated to specific roles in the community. We see this in Jeremiah chapter 23, in Ezekiel 34. The shepherds there, the leaders, are held accountable for the work that they're doing or the work that they're failing to do as leaders in Israel. The term elder is used in the Old Testament, commonly used in the Old Testament, to refer to those who had authority in the community. Deuteronomy 27 and chapter 31, Numbers chapter 11 and verse 16, all of these speak of elders in the Israelite community who held positions of leadership. And so the term elder will often refer to leaders in the community. And then in Acts 14, which records Paul's activity in Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, we read this. This is verse 21 of Acts 14. "After they had proclaimed the good news to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, then on to Iconium and Antioch. There they strengthened the souls of the disciples and encouraged them to continue in the faith, saying, 'It is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God.' And after they had appointed elders for them in each church, with prayer and fasting, they entrusted them to the Lord in whom they had come to believe. So we see that Paul appointed elders in these churches. Thus, it supports the idea that Peter here is referring to a group of men called or designated to be leaders in the church. And then finally, in verse 2, this is back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them." In the NIV 1984, this reads, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers for them." So Peter links overseeing and being an elder. Thus, when he addresses the elders here, he's talking about those who have the specific responsibility of offering oversight to the congregation. So an overseer, an elder, a shepherd, one and the same in the congregation. Why in the world did I just run through all of that? Well, who's the next group that Peter addresses in 1 Peter chapter 5? You know? The young men of the congregation. And so, it seems like at face value that Peter is talking to older folks and then to younger folks. But I believe, based on what I just shared with you, that Peter is talking specifically about those who hold an important designation in the congregation. Elders, leaders, shepherds, overseers. Peter is addressing a specific group. Then the exhortation is for the elders to be shepherds. See how it reads here in verse 2. "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them." Need to think about how the word shepherd is used throughout Scripture. It's used, first of all, in reference to kings and community leaders in Israel. Look at a passage like Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 6. "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them." So with these community leaders, they received a strong rebuke from the Lord through Ezekiel. Why? They didn't take care of the flock. They didn't strengthen the weak. They didn't heal the sick. They didn't bind up the injured. They didn't bring back the strays or search for the lost. And so the term shepherd is used for leaders in Israel. It's also used to refer to God, a passage that we've already looked at today, Psalm 23, verses 1 through 4. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So David acknowledges God as his shepherd, one who provides for him. He makes him lie down in green pastures. He leads him beside quiet waters. This shepherd protects the one who is with him. "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." The shepherd leads the sheep in the right direction. "You lead me in paths of righteousness." So it's used in reference to God, not just here in Psalm 23, elsewhere as well. It's also used in reference to Jesus. First of all, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, listen to what Peter says. When they hurled their insults at him, speaking of Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins and in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So Jesus is referred to as the shepherd. And then, of course, Jesus speaking of himself in John 10, verses 11 through 13. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So Jesus, as the good shepherd, he exemplifies self-sacrifice in order to save the sheep. It says also that he knows the sheep, and the sheep know him. I believe in this comment from Jesus, he's speaking of a level of trust, of what we might call an intimate relationship, a deep connection Jesus has, the shepherd has, for his sheep. So Paul addresses the leaders, the church in Ephesus. He does so in Acts chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. Listen to what Paul says here. And now I know that none of you, among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom, will ever see me face to face again. Therefore, I declare to you this day that I am not responsible for the blood of any of you, for I did not shrink away from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his own Son. And so Paul, when he addresses the elders in the church in Ephesus, he refers to them as shepherds. And notice what he says here. It's so very important, especially as we're thinking about bringing on new shepherds. He says, first of all, about the elders, they are to keep watch of themselves. Elders are to take care of themselves by remaining true to the Word of God, by remaining close to God, by through prayer and service and living as he has called them to live. But then Paul says the Holy Spirit put overseers in the position they hold. Shepherding is a divine appointment. He says the church that the shepherds are leading has been obtained through the blood of Jesus. And I would say to the elders, never forget the high price that was paid for the body of Christ. Jesus' blood was shed for the church. If we dare forget the price that was paid for the redemption of the church, we may slack in our faithfulness and our desire to serve. Elders, the Spirit has put you in the position that you're in, and maybe you never forget the high price that was paid. So when Peter told the elders to be shepherds of God's flock, I have no doubt that he would have had all of these biblical aspects of shepherding in mind. I'm going to say that again because that's really important. When Peter told the elders to be shepherds of God's flock, I have no doubt that he had these pictures, these images, this understanding of shepherding in his mind. Think of what was said to the shepherds of Israel. You failed. You did the people wrong. You did the Lord wrong because you didn't take care of the flock. You didn't strengthen the weak. You didn't search for the lost. You didn't bind up the injured. And think of with God, he makes one lie down in green pastures. In other words, he provides for them. He protects them. He leads them in the right paths. And then about Jesus, he exemplifies self-sacrifice, willing to die. Willing to die for his sheep. And he knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. And so if we were to draw out, this is a tall order, we understand that, but if we were to draw out the job description for shepherds, know the sheep that are under your watch, care for the wounded, provide for the sheep, the sustenance that God provides, and look for those lost sheep, protect them from danger, and be willing to die for those sheep. And now another observation. The elders must continually check their approach to leading. Here's what Peter says. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. The shepherd should be willing to lead. And this is a matter of the heart. A willing heart is one that is filled with passion and desire for the church. When the motivation is more of a must do than a get to, I think you understand that distinction. I must do this, or I get to do this. I have the privilege, the honor of doing this. When it's more of a must do, burnout is right around the corner. That's not to say there's not going to be tough days as the work of a shepherd, but I think the baseline for the work is passion and not drudgery, right? The shepherd shouldn't be in it for the money or prestige, but because of a desire to serve others. And so Peter says, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Again, this is a matter of the heart. What is your motivation for serving? What is the proper motivation for serving? Is it self-advancement, personal pride, or is it a deep conviction about the power and importance of the church? There's a story about a young man. He's taking night classes, trying to get a degree in business. In fact, he's taking a management course. Studied so hard for the final. He's prepared for this final. He has spent hours looking through his textbooks, going through the PowerPoints, re-listening to the professor's lectures. He gets into class that evening. It's a night class. He said, this exam has one question, pass or fail. What is the name of the custodian that cleans this hallway? What is the point? Why is the professor asking that question? Have those students, have they noticed those that are around them? Have they taken inventory of the people that are around them? The shepherd shouldn't be in it for money or prestige, but because of a desire to serve others. Also, the shepherd shouldn't lord it over the church, Peter says, but they should be examples. I think this is important too. The opposite of not lording it over those entrusted to you is not passive participation or leadership. It's servant leadership that cultivates trust from others. The best way to build trust is to listen, is to get your hands dirty in service, is to encourage others, is to walk alongside others in this journey of faith. What does it mean to lord it over others? I love what one preacher said. Lording it over implies that an elder is driven by the love of power. He gets an ego high from flaunting his authority and prestige and dominance. He needs to be up front. He craves the praise and the dependence of men. He may be a boisterous, domineering sort, or he may manipulate with the feigned pain of a wounded hero, or he may be a consummate politician who measures his words so as to curry the favor of the powerful and enhance his security in office. Peter says that they aren't to lord it over the church, but be examples. And so here's the way that I see it. This is what it looks like to not lord it over those in the church. Celebrate how the sheep and the flock use their gifts for the sake of the kingdom. the church is at its finest when all members are unleashed to use their God-given talents and abilities and passions freely for God's glory. Instead of hoarding power and influence, give it away so others may flourish in the kingdom. Be willing to say, "I'm sorry," when a mistake is made. The one who lords it over others struggles to admit when a mistake is made. This is a problem. Instead, all of us, elders, deacons, ministers, all of us should be open to criticism, concerns, and questions, and listen respectfully and carefully. Then move forward in the proper way. None of us here today, right? I'm going to amen on this. None of us are perfect. Therefore, we will all at one time or another be in a position to say, "I was wrong. I'm sorry. Can we move on?" I love the phrase "smell like sheep." I think it was coined by Lynn Anderson. Be intentional in smelling like sheep by being smack dab in the middle of the flock, binding wounds, cheering others on, caring for souls. We must never forget that Jesus left the splendor of heaven to live among the smelly, dumb sheep. There are no ivory towers in the kingdom of God. Shepherds, and this connects with what I've just shared, shepherds must remember that they are under shepherds. Peter wrote, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Jesus is the head of church. Jesus is the way, truth, and life. Jesus is the good shepherd that laid down his life for the church. Richard or Bob or Jerry, they are not the head of the church. As a matter of fact, they are sheep as well, and they are shepherds who are under the chief shepherd. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So shepherds in the church are to listen to the call, to the voice of the good shepherd. As Christians, as those that are part of the congregation, if I could speak for the congregation, I would say to our shepherds, shepherds, please continue to listen to his voice. Please continue to draw us closer to Jesus. Help us to hear his voice and follow his lead. We need Jesus. We need his voice. We need his protection. We need his guidance. Draw us closer to Jesus. And as a part of that process, please, shepherds, continue to grow closer to Jesus. Then in verse 4 as well, it says, "You will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Shepherds, this is the fifth observation. Shepherds must maintain an eternal perspective. The church needs that example. Shepherds, you can help us see what it looks like to live as ones who know that your future is secure because of what God has done for us through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Show us what it looks like to live bold faith, knowing that heaven is in store, that the victory has already been won. Show us what it looks like to live as if there is more to come, living in the presence of God forever. I believe the crown here is simply the glory of living in the presence of Jesus forever. This may be challenging. The work of being a shepherd, I know, is challenging. I grew up in the home of one who is an elder. I kind of get the challenges that come with being a shepherd. But I do know this, for those who are shepherds or deacons or ministers or anyone else, the challenges in this life, the struggles that we face now, again, whether we're living in the first century or the 21st century, they pale in comparison to living for an eternity with Jesus Christ. May we keep that eternal perspective. And so, the shepherd, Jesus says it about himself, he was willing to lay down his life for the sheep. At the end of the day, what's most important is that we continue to grow more and more into the likeness of Christ. And so the shepherds that we have, the current ones and the ones that the Holy Spirit will appoint to be a part of our congregation, the understanding that they are going to help us to become more like Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for caring for us, loving us, protecting us, providing for us. Thank you for being our shepherd. Father, we pray for our current shepherds. We pray that you will give them strength. Our prayer is that they will continue to fall in love with your Son. They will listen to his voice. They will follow his footsteps. And Father, as they lead us, that they will do so in a humble, servant-oriented way as they help lead us. Father, we know that they have a challenging task. We know that they're kept up at night. Sometimes they wrestle in prayer over us, over the church. They struggle, they cry, they argue, they wrestle about all of this. Father, I pray that you strengthen them. I pray that you continue to give them a renewed sense of vigor and passion for the church. I pray that you remain near to them so that they can continue to hear you and go in the direction that you want them to go. Father, we believe that this congregation, you have incredible things in store for this congregation. There's so much that you want to do through us, and I pray that as that you continue to empower and embolden the leaders here to lead us into that future, recognizing that the victory has been won through Jesus Christ, and the message of good news could be so powerfully proclaimed in this place. And so continue to bless us and continue to work through this congregation, and bless our leaders especially as they do their work faithfully in a way that brings you glory. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If there's anybody here this evening, it's almost, if I would have kept going, we're getting close. So if there's anybody here this morning that is ready to submit your life over to Jesus in the waters of baptism, we want you to know that now would be a great time to do that. If that's what God is doing in your heart, we would love to witness you make that faithful decision today. If there's anybody here that is in need of the prayers of the church family, you can come forward, let us know, and we'd be glad to pray with you. Shepherds will be up here in front. We'll also have shepherds that will be in the back to receive you, to take those prayer requests. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and we continue to worship our God.